In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we see two kinds of faith. They are the faith of Jairus, who had a 12-year-old daughter who was dying, and the faith of the woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. I don't think it's accidental that 12 appears twice, because they had different faith. One had better faith than the other, and yet the Lord delivered both of them. Let's look at the faith of the stronger one, the one that is mentioned second, the woman with the issue of blood. So, the story happens in that Jairus comes to the Lord, his daughter is dying, and he wants her to come to the house, him to come to the house, and heal the daughter. And as at this point in time, the daughter is alive, to the best of Jairus' knowledge, but she is dying. And so he is going in a throng of people to heal the daughter, to go to the house, exactly as Jairus asked. And it's slow going, and during this time, the woman, who has an issue of blood, which made her ritually unclean and therefore basically an outcast in society. She couldn't go to temple at all. She couldn't go to the synagogue ever. She was probably considered by most people to be a terrible sinner because this terrible thing had occurred, and therefore it must be because of her sins in the minds of the people. So she was an outcast. She was a marginalized person of society. But she had deep faith, because she'd heard the Lord preach, and she knew of him, and she believed that he could heal her. And so, afraid that she would be discovered, she touched his garments. Now that in itself was forbidden. A ritually unclean person could not touch another person, or else that person became unclean, had to go through various washings. And so what she was doing was against the law. But the Lord is the creator of the law, and he knew her intent. Her intent was just to be healed quietly, not to cause any fuss. So imagine her consternation and her horror when, even though she was no longer bleeding and she was healed, he stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And she was going to be discovered. Why did he do this? Well, he obviously did this to show us the faith of the woman, but another thing too. There was a throng of people about, and so Peter says to the Lord, "Lord, all the multitude press around thee, and thou sayest, who touched me?" Tons of people are touching you, being jostled and touched by many, many people. But the Lord was trying to make a point. And it occurs nowadays too. Who touches the Lord? Not everyone that's in his presence. We're all in his presence now. We're all ostensibly here to celebrate the Eucharist, to meet God, but not all of us will today. Some of us will not touch him. Oh, we will be around him, and therefore there will be incidental touch, but not healing touch. Healing touch only comes from faith, and that is the touch of the woman. With desire and with faith, she touched him and she was healed. Like I've told you many times before, read the scriptures to personalize them, to be about you, because they are about you. And so, when I read this incident about the woman touching the Lord and Peter protesting that everybody was touching him, I think about how often do I touch him? How often do I come to the temple and pray, but my mind's somewhere else? How often do I miss what the Lord wants me to see, even though it's right in front of my eyes? How often does that happen with you? Unfortunately, we really can't say, can we? Because we don't know the things we don't know. But we do know that it happens. And it's a tragedy that it does. My prayer for you every time that I come to the temple is that each one of you would touch the Lord. Not in words like that, I'm using a metaphor now, but I always ask that the Lord would in some way provide what you need and in some way change you. You shouldn't go out that door the same person that came in. You have to come here to meet God and to touch Him. Of course, a lot of us will be communing the holy mysteries and touching Him in that way. But even those that do not commune for honorable reasons, you should be touching the Lord because He is present in the temple with His angels and with the saints. This is not really just earth anymore. We're in heaven. We're worshiping as the heavenly host worship. And so we should touch Him. Now, if you don't feel like you're touching the Lord, then something's wrong. Something needs to change. If it doesn't occur to you that you should be touching the Lord, then something definitely needs to change. So we see the faith of this woman is the beginning of that kind of change. Desire to be healed by the Lord and going out of her way to do something that was actually dangerous. It was not acceptable. So what should we do? We should go out of our way to pray, to fast, to live the Christian life, to meditate upon the commandments so that we would truly be touching the Lord and not just be in His presence. Let's look at the faith of Jairus. It was weaker than the woman's because he needed the Lord to do something for him in a obvious way. He needed the Lord to come to his house to heal his daughter. The woman didn't need any of that. She knew that if she would just touch his garment, she would be healed. She didn't need to tell anybody or even ask him. She knew that he'd know. So Jairus' faith was weak. And yet even though he had weak faith, the Lord did do what he asked. But not before a servant came, no doubt breathless, and blurted out, "Do not trouble the master anymore. The girl is dead." Now, those of us who are parents understand with what dread the man Jairus heard these words. How his heart felt like a stone at this point. But the Lord told him, "Don't be afraid. Only believe, and she will be healed." Against all expectation, he summoned at least a little belief. He probably didn't really believe she was alive, but he wanted her to be healed so badly that he grasped at this straw that the Lord was giving him. Just believe. So he walked to the house, and of course the Lord then raised the girl. So what does this teach us about faith? Well, sometimes our faith's not perfect. That's just the case. But we must always be with the Lord. This kind of faith of Jairus reminds me of the faith of Thomas. Thomas didn't believe in the resurrection, but he stayed with the apostles. And then on the eighth day after the resurrection, the Lord revealed himself to Thomas. If Thomas had left, then the Lord would not have revealed himself. If Jairus had said, "All is over, it's useless," and left, the girl would not have been raised. So the Lord requires faith. It is better to have strong faith, because with strong faith, strong things happen. Large changes occur in our life, and we have wisdom and enlightenment about what is true and how to live. But even those with weak faith, if you stay by the Lord, then yes, you will be healed. Now, we're coming up upon a fast very soon. And if you have weak faith, I'll tell you something that will help you. Perhaps your faith is weak and your fasting is weak. Fast better this year. Try to fast according to how the church teaches us to. It's not arbitrary, There's a good reason for everything. And it is useful to the soul. It makes the soul stronger. And it does something else. If you fast during the entire period of the fast, perhaps you won't always say your prayers. Maybe you'll not even think of God for a day. Maybe you'll have a bad day where you get very upset or commit some sin that is very grievous. But if you're fasting, then there's something that's keeping you close to the Lord. Don't think of this in a legalistic way. Fasting is not going to save you. It's not brownie points or anything. But it is something that keeps you close to God. It's something that reminds you of God. Even if you have a bad day, even if you didn't say your prayers, at least you fasted, because fasting's important. And that's like Jairus, going with the Lord even though he still believed his daughter was dead. That's how faith is built up to the point where you have the faith of the woman with the issue of blood. Most of us have weak faith, so we must constantly increase our faith in the things we do in our life. Fasting's very important for that. Those of you who do not fast, or fast kind of poorly, or fast kind of conveniently, you're not helping yourself. It's as simple as that. Now, if you have perfect faith, and you, when you pray, there is fire around you, then I tell you, you don't need to fast. But if that is not the case, then you do. For the sake of being close to the Lord, even when there are those times when you are not so spiritual. Those times happen all the time, don't they? Pretty much, let's admit, every day there's periods of those times happening. Maybe they happen more than the times when we are close to God. That's why fasting is important. But that's why also daily prayer is important. And reading of the scriptures. It's very neglected in our age. You should be reading the Gospels. You should be reading the Psalms. With expectation, you don't have to read 3 chapters a day. You could just read the daily reading, or you could just read a page, or even a few sentences sometimes. But read with expectation. Read as the man Jairus, as if you are Jairus, a man with faith but weak faith, and a man with a deep problem, a daughter who is dead. We have a soul that is not, I wouldn't say it's dead, but can we say that it's completely alive? I don't think so. If our soul was absolutely filled with God, we would not sin. We would not have anxieties and doubts and anger and jealousy and all the rest, because there would only be God. And where God is, there is perfect peace. So we're like Jairus, and we have to stick with him. We have to stay with the Lord by every means we can. Fasting and prayer are part of those things. There's other things as well. But it really comes down to, do you believe that the Lord will heal you? Do you really believe it? If you don't, then there's no reason to continue walking with him as he walks to the house. There's no reason to try to touch his garment if you don't believe. You have to have this belief. Now, if you want to have this belief but don't completely have it, that's okay. Then you're like Jairus, the one who believes but doesn't believe. Or like the man who had the boy who had a demon. He said, I believe, help my unbelief. That's why those stories are there in the Bible, to teach us, because they reach us where we're at. Not everybody is holy from the beginning, like St. John the Baptist. The vast majority of us are very mediocre, and our faith goes up and down, and we have good days and a lot of bad days, and we often forget God for long periods of time. But God will help us if we do something to stay close to him. So these stories show us faith. Really strong faith and also weak faith. But we see that the Lord responds to faith. Whether it's strong or whether it's weak, that's good news for us with weak faith. But he will not respond to those with weak faith if they do nothing. If Jairus had not gone to the house, the girl would not have been healed. You must respond to the Lord according to your ability, and the Lord will help you, and you will become stronger. Because all of us should have the faith of the woman. The faith of Jairus is the faith of a child. And when we grow up, we should put away childish things. So, right now we're children, and we have weak faith. But we know what we should do to increase it. I've told you a few things. If you have any doubts, if you have any questions, if you're not sure, you should talk to me. Because God will help us, and he will increase our faith if only we react to him according to our ability at that moment. May God bless you and increase your faith. Amen.